You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, welcome.
Listen, you fake news. You fake
Donald,
news.
Donald, chill, my friend, chill. Rest your ear, for God's sakes. 7:08 in the morning, you're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. We have our good friend, Dr. Joanne DeFilippo here. Good morning, lady.
Buenos dias, ¿cómo están?
Very well, how are you?
Ah, qué bueno.
How's your weekend?
Well, a little soggy.
You're getting pounded out there.
Oh, my God. I will tell you, yesterday, we not only had one really bad rainstorm, then it let up for, I don't know, maybe 10 minutes or so. And then the second one came in. Oh, my goodness. I had the back of my house, I had the rain coming horizontally. Absolutely. Not vertically, horizontally.
So you gave me access to one of your security cams, and I watched it yesterday where you had that giant plate of cannoli you were going to bring.
Wait a minute.
Okay. And as you were walking out with the cannoli, what happened was this breeze came out of nowhere and blew the cannoli.
Right down to Nogales.
So, Dean Wormer, guess how many cannoli we got today? I just want to let everyone
know. 0.0.
Hey, I'm lucky I have electricity. All the electricity in my barn went out last night. My poor little horse, I'm out there trying to feed and everything. There's no lights. I mean, it was pitch black. It was unbelievable.
All right, we got so much stuff
to get
to.
We got a lot.
Real quick, before I know you have copious notes on,
yes,
on the not
on many things.
But tell, do you have a theme today?
Oh, smoke and mirrors.
Oh, we're back to smoke
massive.
And mirrors, part two.
Yeah, part two, but we're going to make that emphasize this, okay? And I want to open it with this. I saw an article on the internet. It's a story by Reuters. I'm sorry.
Reuters.
I keep looking at that.
That's okay.
And the title is, Panama to start deporting migrants from Darien Gap within months.
Oh, my Lord.
And I'm looking at that, okay. But here's the best part. The flights will be paid by the United States under a recent agreement that the two countries closed earlier this month. So we are going to pay for the deportation flights of migrants who crossed the county's Darien jungle. Yet we do not protect our own border.
No.
Okay. I want everybody to be aware of that. And where did you hear anywhere that we were paying for these deportations? Here's the other thing. The left, the liberals get so you know, riled up and everything. You know, deportations. Wait a minute. This is Biden and Blinken, okay?
Matt, do you have your crickets ready? Tell me if your crickets are ready, just real quick. Let's go to...
Why is it okay for that? Why do they find it egregious to have deportations
done
from the U.S.?
Hold on. Let's go to the lady that was put in charge of the border, Border Czar Kamala Harris. Oh, thank you.
Wait a minute.
We're too busy watching what you're doing to hear what you're saying.
I really don't know what he said at the end of those things. I don't think he knows what he said either.
Oh, you got that
one.
You
got mine. You got mine.
Oh, my God. Matt, you are the man. Again. Well played, sir.
So it is just, I mean, that's the epitome of what's going on.
Can we start with a quick election thing for you?
Oh,
today?
Yeah. Well, wait a minute. Okay, yes, so now there were 20 people I called to the public.
Yes.
Okay. I'd venture to say 15 of them were in regards to election. We call it election integrity. Well, there is no integrity over what happened. And I go back to this. Much of it is having to do with two things, basically. One is the chain of custody, or the lack of chain of custody.
Right. You know all about that.
Yeah. Which I'm going to say, let's go back to that chain of custody on that ballot box, which that chain of custody
so
was
So what are you
broken.
Waiting on?
I'm waiting for somebody. My little friends, if you're listening today, get your little pencils ready, because I'm coming after you.
Wow.
Okay? Yes.
My little friends.
My little friends, get ready. Okay. Yes. Okay.
So,
and the second thing is this.
Yes.
And I agree with this. I want to go through some of these. Actually, yeah. I want to go through the call to the public quickly.
All right, go.
Okay. First off, there were actually two speakers who spoke about locations of vet memorials. And what it really boiled down to is that, you know, we've got these vet memorials and there's trash and there's, I didn't realize it, but there's a gentleman who is assigned to take care of the vet memorial.
Can I give you 20 seconds on the vet memorial?
Yeah.
So we do so much work. We have our honor flight program, our fundraiser coming up on August 17th. And our friend Colonel Moe hooked us up with this lady who was a part of this veteran memorial. So she's sitting right in the seat you're sitting on. I go, oh, where's the veterans memorial? Oh, she goes, it's under the overpass on Palo Verde and 44th.
Yes.
And I said to her, oh, why would we dishonor our vets by putting it there? One, no one will ever see it other than the crackheads, right? So he's going to the Board of Soup saying, hey, where the thing is full of garbage and crackheads? Yeah. Shocking.
Yeah, as well as all the flat. Now, I do want to give Supervisor Lee some credit. She said, hey, we need to look at, let's get a report. Let's do something. Maybe relocate those.
Put them in a better spot. What are you, crazy? The county owns all this land all over the place. You know, put it in the fake warehouse with all the vaccines.
I look
put
at it this way. Parking put the illegals under, swap them out. Okay? Okay. All right.
Hold on. I gotta get
okay. So, there was the second speaker. He talked about the abuse of power. And he said, I lived in communism. He said, this BS. No, this BOS is, you know, it's run like Stalin, like Khrushchev. And
this sounds like Raf. Raf Polo.
I didn't catch his name. I don't know. He said, you throw bones to those who you think will vote for
grayish,
you.
Grayish, nice hair. Like kind of. Raf's from Cuba.
White.
So,
Might be.
Yeah, it could be Raf.
And he said, some of you are socialists, if not. Oh, I love this. This is so true. Some of you are socialists, if not communists, but you love capitalism. And then he said, how do you sleep at night? And I have a lot of friends that are like this. Okay. People who, you know. Actually, you know, people who came from Europe, you know, they're not U.S. naturalized citizens.
No, Raf's actually been on the show before, too. He has a great story.
Yeah,
so.
And it's so true. You know, it's like they want to profess all these socialist beliefs, etc. But these people exist, and they benefit off capitalism. And, you know, some of them I know very well, and I always say to them, without capitalism, you wouldn't have that business. You wouldn't be able to do all the things you're doing. You wouldn't be able to, quote unquote, play polo.
Well, we're in the community where local government picks winners and losers.
Yes. Okay.
Right.
So then we go into the ones
do
about.
Do one more, and then we got to go to break, please.
The election integrity chain of custody, and I love it. You know, they're talking about this being election fraud. Who made this mistake? They must be held accountable. And it said, then someone else said, why were 10,000 voters dropped? And then I guess somebody must have called into the county and they said, we have a glitch with the database. Oh, really? You think it could be the guy who's running the database up out of his home up in, what, Finisterre?
Finisterre, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So, if you want to find your voter data, it's just up. It's up by Ventana Canyon.
Yeah, go knock on his door, okay? and so, you know, one of the speakers said, our trust has been violated. You are now officially put on notice. If you do nothing, you're as guilty as the recorder. What happened is Christie asked to have the recorder and the Constance and the recorder at the next meeting to be present and address what in the world is going on. He wants an explanation of all of this.
All right, we're going to go to break, and I want to continue the election. I want to talk about this, the wrong date for the primary.
On the ballot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about that. And the Bud Foster excuse that he puts in there on why this is so difficult for them to get the date right.
And then I want to address briefly, Adelita spoke about the assassination attempt, but she really didn't speak about anything as it relates to Trump. What she did is she basically put it in the context of the boardroom. And I believe that we really need to acknowledge what happened with former President Trump.
All right, we're playing the Justine Wadsack going 71 on a 35 playlist today. This is Montgomery Gentry, Speed. Wake up, Tucson, 10:30 of the Voice. 7:23 in the morning, you're on Wake Up, Tucson, 10:30 of the Voice, local news and talk. A little Hot Rod Lincoln for our Justine Wadsack going 71 on a 35 playlist today. Have a little fun today. We got Go Speed Racer was in the first hour, so that was pretty fun. We're hanging out with Dr. DeFilippo, and we started talking about elections a little bit.
Yes.
All right. And so I just want to get to this story real quick. So on the sample ballots they sent out to everyone, they put August 30th instead of July 30th.
Correct.
Right. And then they spent a minimum of $20,000 extra dollars to send out a postcard that said that was wrong.
Correct.
Okay. Now, as Matt Neely likes to say, in a variety of situations, you had one job. You had one job here.
And you failed.
Right?
Not only that, this is really interesting. One of the speakers that called to the public noted that, you know, an overwhelming number of people who received these ballots. Oh, first off, one of the speakers said that they had been investigating this and they have not found, we have not located any Democratic ballots with the incorrect date. That was speaker number 8.
Interesting. But he had no actual proof that
It was just a comment made.
All right.
And I'm with you. I'm with you. I go, well, wait a minute. You gotta back that up. But
all he has to do is find. All he's got to do is find one, right?
Yeah, that would be interesting to see. But then there was somebody else who said, "You realize that the wrong date." They were talking about the length and the size of the font, so to speak, on the wrong dates. Okay, the correct date was, I guess, pretty small, and it's only about an inch long. And when you open it up, the wrong date is obviously much larger. That's what they were alluding to. And, you know, I mean, people are making all these kinds of observations. But overall, one of the individuals said, you should never certify this election. You shouldn't certify it.
That's the question that Bud didn't ask, is who's going to be damaged out of this?
Yeah.
Well, when has it ever bothered Democrats for disenfranchisement or of discouragement of voting? They don't really, not their bag. Okay?
Unless it's voter suppression to a certain area.
Well, that's true too.
Okay.
Right, that's why they would love everyone to vote without an ID.
That's why I think it would be interesting to see, is there any proof to that statement? We've not located any Democratic ballots with incorrect dates.
So one of the lines in the Bud Foster piece, the wrong date was sent out to 135,000 voters.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They got the postcard. Now it says, this is Bud, it could be an easy error to make for longtime election workers. Have all of them been hit in the head with a baseball bat once a week for the last so many years, Bud?
It should never be happening.
Right?
Never.
But the primary has been held in August for election cycles, but the state legislature moved it up to July. So it's the state legislature's fault that they moved it 7 days earlier and the $2 billion county can't get a date right. That's where we're at.
And August 30th is a Friday. So did anybody say, well, why are we scheduling or Thursday? Or anyway, it's not a Tuesday.
Well, here's my thing. Don't you have people in there who proof the work? Okay, somebody had to sign off on it.
This is their workaround plan.
Yeah.
Checklist and proofreading.
Yeah.
What is this, the Arizona Daily Star?
This is the plan to improve it.
I mean, somebody has to click on draft, document is
right.
ready for a printing approval. Okay.
Right.
Somebody had to do that.
Where do you want to go next?
Okay, so let's go. Okay, so we've done that. Okay, I do want to make a note. Matt Hines did join the meeting at 1 hour and 45 minutes after the meeting started.
So, like I told you, Corey Stevens took the picture of him locked out of the meeting room last Tuesday,
and that is as a result of their own Board of Supervisor policy regarding decorum. Okay.
To quote the bard, hoisted upon his own petard, as we like to say.
Yes.
I'm not explaining petard to the TUSD grads out there.
So I want to make an interesting observation.
Yes.
Agenda item number 8 was a discussion about the Workforce Investment Board. They had a change in the board and everything, and they did a presentation. Okay. And, you know, it was interesting. Rex Scott said, well, you know, I just want to make everybody aware, you know, these are multi-year plans that we approve. And I want to make sure that this is aligned with the economic development plans that we have. And I'm like, well, I finally want to congratulate somebody sitting up on that dais, okay?
Right.
Excluding Steve Christie, because Steve is aware of this, that you've got to align job path, WIB, economic development, Sun Corridor, What have I been yelling to the rafters since 2018
No, of
about?
Course, right? But
okay.
But in the end, all of these things that they talk about, right? Job path, all these things you just mentioned, it all it is we're rearranging the
chairs on the Titanic.
That's all we're doing.
Yes. And here's what I want to say. Rex, I want you to pay close attention because remember, I chair the Regional Affordable Housing Commission. And Rex keeps saying, you know, oh, they need a long-term strategic plan, long-term. No, Rex, what you need to do, and everybody sitting on that dais, and everybody in this county needs to realize, you have plans, okay? I venture to say, if you take all of the economic development plans, the WIB plans, everything, put them on a shelf, you're going to have probably 50 different plans. The key that you have to realize is when you approve a plan, how does it integrate with what's already sitting on that shelf? Because even though you might have 5-year plans, you update them annually. So what I'm getting at is this. Always think about how is what am I approving integrate what has already been approved.
All right, when we come back, we're going to talk about Catholic Community Services. The whole half of the second half of this contract is about sexual misconduct.
Yeah, and there's a reason why. Let's
wake up.
Yeah.
All right, little red Corvette for state senators under legislative immunity driving 71 down in a 35.
Driving their Teslas.
So you had me do a little research on the interwebs.
Yes.
And you made me go to agenda item 19.
Okay, now I want to preface this first.
Yes, ma'am, please.
So remember last week when we were talking about this, and I was doing the research for this Catholic Community Services contract.
Yep.
And it was actually to provide a cooperative agreement for the provision of humanitarian services, no cost. Okay, which is interesting because the document is a CTN. Which means it's a revenue contract, but there's no revenue, okay?
Right.
Because remember, we're giving this building to Catholic Community Services free. So taxpayers, I want you to be aware. Yes, you are paying for humanitarian aid because there is no revenue being collected off of this. And we haven't gotten an answer from
remember, $100 million and almost a half a million people have been blown through this country by Pima County and the Catholic Church.
Now, what I thought was really interesting, if you go back and take a look at this agenda item number 19, it's this revenue contract. When you pull up the document, it's just talking about how, you know, okay, basically we're going to extend the lease to them, et cetera, no cost, okay. But if you take a look at what's attached to the contract, it's how many, 20-some pages?
So it's interesting. So
it's a 52-page document.
And starting at page 24 and going to the rest of it.
To 52.
Is the guidelines for the prevention and response to sexual misconduct.
Now,
it's more than half the contract.
I thought that was really strange when I started to take a look at that. And if you go back and listen to our podcast, you'll hear me talk about, I can't figure out why the attachment to this contract is addressing nothing but, you know, prevention of sexual assault, et cetera. It just struck me as very, very odd.
Sure.
Well, then I kind of pieced it together, I believe, and this is my belief, my assertion, that all of a sudden we noticed that the Department of Justice is now suing Southwest Keys.
Yep.
For having to deal with sexual assault, et cetera.
This is from Arizona Public Media. Sexual abuse and harassment of children at a majority of its facilities in Arizona, Texas, and California.
There were two Tucson incidents.
Correct.
Yes.
The lawsuit, Southwest Key.
A 15-year-old staying at the Southwest Key facility Casa Estrella in Tucson reported a male staff member entered his room numerous times without knocking and touched him inappropriately. The children in the case range from ages 5 to 17.
So, I took a look at that and, you know, made this leap. Correct, right, wrong, good, bad, I don't know.
I do like this. The government says the organization's actions violate the Fair Housing Act. Oh, and also they were basically raped.
Well, and so
feels like a Norm MacDonald joke right now.
My question actually goes to Jan Lusher, okay? Jan, did you know something about this DOJ action against Southwest Keys, and that's why you added this as an attachment to the
Catholic
Community
Services?
Now, remember,
whenever you're doing the business with the Catholic Church, you know, they have a little bit of a problem in this situation, so...
a protection.
So here's the real question is we'd have to go back, right, to 2020. When they initially started this horse crap with Catholic Community Services, was the same 25-page sexual misconduct section in that contract?
Well, if I recall correctly, no. But I'm going to go back and do the research on all of the CTNs.
Because if it's not,
yeah,
then you nailed it.
Yeah.
You're in the neighborhood.
It's just, when I first took a look at that last week, I went, why did Jan attach this document? This attachment to this contract, because I don't recall ever seeing anything like this before.
Yeah, like I said, I wasn't researching. You said to me, Chris, go look that up, right?
Yeah.
And I go, okay. And you go, it's towards the back. The back meaning the second half of the entire
document. Of the document. Yes. Now, okay, so that's the first thing. Then remember, we go to addendum number 4 because there were two items for Catholic Community Services.
Yes.
And, you know, the one was the procurement concern, which there was a board discussion on it, and Steve Christie brought it up. And this is going to be very interesting to see what falls out of this. But it's the whole issue of the lack of subrecipient monitoring, okay, on the procurement. That is an interesting scenario.
What department is supposed to be doing subrecipient monitoring?
Grants Management and Innovation. Now ask me, who did the state auditor write up and Pima County in their audit as a finding for a lack of subrecipient monitoring?
You mean specifically at the county?
Yeah.
Not Grants Management?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Yeah, one and the same.
Who runs Grants Management?
Who do you think?
Is this Regina Kelly?
Yes.
Okay.
I believe she now calls herself RK.
Okay.
I see that on the memos.
Look at her.
Okay. Yeah. So, you know, it's, I mean, and that's massive. Yeah. That's massive. You got a lot of federal money going through the system.
Yep.
If you're not doing, and I will tell you this much, I can state from experience that when it came to all the COVID money, the subrecipient monitoring team was told we were not to monitor anything having to do with COVID funds.
Wow.
And I will attest to that under a deposition.
Wow. So yes. Check that out. So you're saying the people that were supposed to do subrecipient monitoring to Paragon,
anybody
people,
anybody who received COVID funds,
they were told not to monitor.
Myself and my team of 2 staff.
They told you not to monitor.
Yes, not to monitor anything with COVID related to COVID funding. This is as of up to May 20th, 2021.
This is like Girls Gone Wild with your money.
And so it's, and then there, I'm probably sure after I left there was, you know, no. That's why they ended up doing a contract with that consulting. I think they're called Booth Consulting. To come in and do subrecipient monitoring, but it would be really interesting to see.
Hold on, a $2 billion county needs to hire an outside someone to do subrecipient monitoring?
Yes.
Wow. Yes. Just magical.
Out of a department that I believe has 63 PCNs, personnel control numbers, jobs. Okay, yeah. Okay.
Let's do this. I want to go to early, I want to spend the last segment together on Mosaic Quarter.
Oh, yeah.
So Joanne took copious notes on this one. This looks like she wrote like a handwritten, like this is like Thomas Jefferson handwriting the Declaration of Independence.
Actually, as I was taking these notes, you know, those 3 styrofoam cups?
Oh, yeah.
They were moving on their own.
They were haunted.
Yes.
All right. Part of our 71 and a 35 playlist, Judas Priest, Breaking the Law. Here we go. Wake up, Tucson. All right, little queen, I'm in love with my car for the 71 and 35 driving playlist. Friend of the show who's a lawyer just said, Wadsack just should have said, hey, sorry I did it. Have my lawyer contact the city, pay whatever fine it is, and move on with your life. Just from one of our friends who's listening to the show. We're hanging out with Dr. DeFilippo. We're going to get into one of my favorites, the Mosaic Quarter. Thank God for Steve Christie. Because the other 4 would have just nodded it all the way through like you would never believe. Carmine, I love you, buddy, but the amount of... It was like a TED Talk on crack. It was just so gobbledygook.
Carmine gave Kamala a run for her money on the...
It was the big salad from Seinfeld.
Yeah,
from,
exactly. Oh,
from
this
Carmine.
Was a Cobb salad put together with a blue wedge. Okay?
Just narrow it down a little bit, buddy.
It's like, Carmine, what you need to do is translate that into everyday common language so that, remember, you got, when you're doing presentations like that, you need to think of it as, how would an eighth grader, okay, because that's what you use generally as an understanding for community. Agreed. Think of it in the context of somebody maybe from the eighth grade.
So basically, Frank Nana Mosaic Cafe, well, sorry, I keep saying that, Mosaic Quarter,
yeah,
need the county to co-sign on this because he can't find a private lender who wouldn't do it without a county co-signer.
So that,
is that what I'm understanding?
Yeah, all these master agreements, leases, everything like this. Okay, so given that, all right. And Christie kept, thank you, Steve Christie.
Absolutely.
Steve Christie kept bringing it up. It was like the Christie mantra. Okay. How much is this costing the county? What is the liability for the county? And he kept saying over and over and over. But I want to go through some of this, how it transpired in the conversation. So Christie brought up, he said, I'm concerned about any glitches with financing because the county's basically on the hook. Carmine said, well, you know, the county can terminate the leases. Well, not that easy, Carmine, okay? And then Mr. Knott said, you know, because Christie said, why are we now amending all of these things 5 months after we just approved all of this?
Yep.
Mr. Knott says, you know, well, you see things as you go along. Okay, wait a minute. I got to remember that the next time I negotiate a mortgage, okay, to my mortgage lender, and I say, wait a minute, I see things differently now 5 months after I signed my lease.
Shocking.
Yeah, my financing instruments with you, okay? Then he goes on, and he's talking a little about U of A as a tenant at the Iceplex. And Christie said, you do realize that the U of A is not in a financial situation to be doing any of this stuff, right? And he's absolutely correct. And Christie goes on again and he says, what are the taxpayers on the line for? And Knott says, the county's financial liability is within the amendments. And he starts talking about, you know, the catastrophic consequences. And he says, well, if anything happens, it wouldn't be until about 3 to 4 years after the opening of the Iceplex, he said. And that's why we put $52 million extra cash into the project. Wait a minute. That's $52 million extra. Remember, financing is going to be co-signed by the county, so to speak. Right?
So what you do this more than I do. So if you didn't have the county co-signing, would someone do a financing deal with you where you're intending to take $52 million and put it in reserve?
Absolutely not. Then he said, I'm going to tell you, I'm working with some individuals who are doing a $350 million project up in Maricopa County.
Yep.
If they went to any one of the government entities, whether it's Maricopa County, any of the cities, towns, et cetera,
yep,
with this kind of a deal, they would be laughed right. They wouldn't even get on the agenda. Okay? That's how egregious this is for the taxpayers. Okay? Now, the result is that, this is Mr. Knott's, we're going to have $114 million buffer to cover debt service.
We got a lot of buffers, Senator.
And he said, we can protect the county. And at first he said 17 years, but then they changed to 22 years. But here's the epitome of everything. And I wrote in my marginalia notes, he said.
Can she say marginalia on the show?
I just checked with the FCC. They said yes.
Okay, if I can't say that, I'm going to say my script.
I really don't know what he said.
You tell that man I know exactly what I'm saying. Okay. All right. So, do you really? I can't even say this with a straight face. Okay. This is based on 6 million visitors per year. And I have in large capital letters.
You love fake news.
I have in large capital letters. Really?
So everybody in Pima County goes, what?
Six times. And you got to have everybody go. You cannot have anybody miss one of those 6 times.
Now then you say, well, Joanne, this is going to bring teams from all over the planet to play hockey here. So when Sylvia Lee was talking about this, Frank says, oh no, only 12% of our revenue comes from out-of-state teams. Well, what is it? How does that happen?
I mean, I was listening to, and mind you, I'm all for really good economic development deals, you know, furthering along economic development activity in a community, et cetera.
What was the last good one we had in this county?
You talking about Worldview?
Matt, crickets, please. Last time we had a good economic development deal. Oh, is it too simple? That didn't work out.
And then, Steve Christie was right on. He then goes on and he asks me, he says, you know, the interest rate hasn't been set yet. Is that correct? And the guy, Mr. Knott goes, yes, that's correct. Okay. And then he says, well, it's not going to make the project disappear or anything unless it's 10 points or so in the rate. And I'm listening to this and I'm like going, oh my gosh, we are on the hook for so much stuff. It's not even funny.
Well, now, then he said because of the extra reserve that I guess he's taking out of this financing, which you said wouldn't have happened if the county wasn't part of this.
He said they now have $114 million buffer to cover the debt service. Okay. And I'm like going, you have got to be.
So where is that coming from? If that is, it's not coming from his pocket.
Well, here's
right. Okay. So there's a. I'm telling you, there's a bank willing to lend money on an ice skating rink
in
and
the
a
middle
basketball,
of the desert.
In the middle of the desert. All right. Okay. In an economically depressed region of Arizona. Right. That literally is saying it's okay. You're going to take $114,000 of the money we're giving you to sit there and do nothing. I'm just ignorant.
Now I want to just point out two sets of numbers.
Yes, ma'am.
The project first set of numbers. The project for phase one.
Yes.
The costs were originally $411 million. It is now $425 million.
Okay.
The second set of numbers is, okay, we now have in addition. I believe it's got to be in addition. To the $425 million, we now have $114 million buffer. Okay, they added $52 million extra cash. All right? So, and I don't think the $52 million is included in the $425 million.
So the county is co-signing on $500 million of financing?
Yeah, yeah.
I also noticed that because of the timing of things, like they were authorizing Jan to sign off on documents as needed.
Oh.
Right? And then, also, did you hear Adelita try to make the motion? It was so complicated, she almost collapsed.
Yes. I mean, this is a thank goodness for Steve Christie voting no. Okay? Because he's the only one with any kind of, and you know what really gets me is, okay, what did they do to our taxes?
They raised them again.
Yeah.
3 years in a row, they've raised your taxes.
So your taxes are going up. And you know, I'm all for economic development projects. Absolutely. Okay. But I'm looking at this and it's like, I just think this is way too risky of a project. Knott's Development can go in and do this. Absolutely. I encourage you to go ahead and do it. But the taxpayers should not be on the hook.
So next week, a week from tomorrow, Gary Davidson will be here for an hour. And he's going to do the history of these deals.
Oh, good.
Okay. And so with all these things is you want the dirt to do your project, pay us rent.
Yeah.
For the dirt.
Period.
That's it.
Period.
What's market rent for the dirt? Market rent for the dirt.
Yes.
And have a nice life.
I would like a plan.
We're so desperate.
Okay. I'm in the process of answering an RFP to the county right now. And they're asking for, I'd love to see the same kind of documents that they're asking me for from Mosaic. Okay. Yeah. I'd like to see the same thing.
The other thing I want is I want Jan Lesher and Carmine to answer the question. I want ask them because what happens? How are the taxpayers on the hook here, Jan Lesher? Okay, because what happens is they go, well, Mr. Knott's here. I don't want to hear from Mr. Knott. I want to hear from you. You're the employee who's supposed to be watching the coffers, and I'm going to ask you, Jan Lesher, and with Carmine can help you, you tell me how the taxpayers are being, what's our exposure here to the taxpayer? Oh, let's trot up, screw me. I'm done with Mr. Knott. Done with him. You tell me.
On top of everything else, they've hired at least one employee.
Steve Kozacik.
Oh.
Someone asked me if he was there to talk. I didn't see Steve at the Maybe he was skulking in the back.
I didn't see him in the back of the room there. And, so, you know, I want to point out.
We got about a minute. Just to let you know.
Supervisor Christie really epitomized the whole thing. He said private-public partnerships should be safe, legal, and rare.
Yes.
And I believe that really encapsulates everything that we're dealing with. Safe, legal, and rare. And this is one of those these
Steve
occasions.
Steve did the abortion line on public-private partnerships. Safe, legal, and rare. That's what he did.
I'll tell you. I mean, this is actually frightening. I'm still 6 million. Okay, so everybody get ready. You're going to be getting your entertainment package for tickets to go to the Knott's Farm.
We're like a guy at the end of the night at the bar who's desperate to go home with anybody.
And that you is grab this region. Whatever you can take.
Correct. That's where we're at. Yeah. We're just like American Airlines took advantage of us on that New York flight. This is just that in a bigger way.
Oh, I think we should start a list of all the, you know, taken advantage of.
Up there.
Okay.
It's going to start next Tuesday with Gary Davidson.
Let's start that. Okay. All right.
Great job as always.
Take care.
Thank you, Dr. DeFilippo.
All right. Bye-bye.
Brother Joe coming up next.